What's up? It's Toucher and Rich. We got Hardy filling in this morning.
Yep. I'm here.
Very nice. More negative than the sports vulture from the past 2 days. Adam Jones, very chipper. Maybe he's a morning person. We just never knew.
He was in on JD Martinez.
That's a good point. Yes, he was. He was all in.
From the get-go. Mm-hmm. Probably because he thought they weren't going to get him.
Yeah, probably. Well, I mean, Jim Louth came in the show. He goes, the reason he's being so positive is so when they fail, he can mock them even harder. And I'm like, you know what? That is a nice theory when it comes to Adam Jones, the sports vulture. But
when Beto got in his accident, by the way, it was Saturday night. Which game was it? It wasn't AFC Championship.
I don't know. It might have been.
AFC Championship.
See, I thought it was the Titans game.
Either one. Anyway, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Whatever. No. I think it was the it was the 8 o'clock start. It was the late one.
Oh, the Saturday night game.
Okay. Okay. So whatever. And I was already going down to do the post game that night because Diassi was sick for this, you know, months long flu epidemic that's been going on.
Right.
So the night that Beto got in his car accident was, oh my God, it's this horrible thing. And he was home 2.5 hours later. Nothing for nothing. He's fine. Everybody can stop asking.
I gotta give Hardy credit. He showed up to work Monday with the same take. Like, what's the problem? He was home 2 hours later.
I have to be honest.
He could have worked that night.
Hardy, I love you to death. You are such an a-hole to him. You're like, he gets one break. He comes in, he can talk about it one break. I don't want to hear another word about it. The guy's like, light flashes before his eyes.
I was driving to Gillette Stadium. I called him, and I was trying to stop at the hospital, and he wouldn't answer his phone, so I called his wife.
How dare he? He's in the hospital.
I'm like,
he's mangled.
What do you need? And it's like, at the very least, I was going to bring him, like, you know, a carton of cigarettes and a Hustler. Just something to, like, show up and say, here's the pass the time.
And he wasn't there. He was already home.
He was at home.
He was home already.
Can we stop talking about it? It shouldn't have been discussed any point beyond that.
Some injuries are in the mind.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It sticks with you. No, honestly, it does. I mean, how freaky would it be to drive for the next month? After that, when you get blindsided that way and your car flips over and you're trapped in the jaws of life, have to get you out. That's for a while. That sticks with you.
I've seen the video. It's not pretty. The first couple of blocks
for the first day. After that, you got to get over it.
Yeah, that's right.
But I did the post game that night down there at CBS scene by myself with Jones back here in the studio.
Yeah.
And it's a good time. I mean, he's very, very sly, vulturish.
Oh, it's great.
I can't remember the last time I did a night show with him. It was years and years and years ago when I had to fill in for somebody. But just like having him back here in Brighton, and there's something else when you can't see him and you just hear the.
Right. Something you couldn't possibly find anything negative with, and he'll pick it out.
Well, that game, it's like they won. Everything's good, and people are calling in. It's like, wow, this is great. Everything's great. Brandon Cooks.
Right, he'll find it.
Not great.
Well, that's why my only regret over the last 2 days was that I couldn't get Dan Roach on here with him, because I thought that would have been the ultimate. It would have been like Unbreakable, you know, like good versus evil, Mr. Glass versus whatever.
The irresistible force against the unstoppable,
the yin and the yang of all things good and evil. Yeah. And we still have some weird stuff going on with Dan Roach, unfortunately. We still feel bad about him, and he is nervous about coming on because of the spring training stuff. I get that. I understand it. I don't know when the statute of limitations wears off and when he can finally come on the show, but we'll figure that out eventually. But I did want to ask you about something, because this is something I discussed a little bit last year, and I thought this is something that would have been handled, but it's just gotten worse. So last summer...
This feels like something personal.
Well, it's personal, and it's something that I don't get freaked out a lot. This is really freaking me out.
Okay.
This is not speaking hyperbole. Oh, I'm not playing radio.
Oh, okay, good.
So last summer, I was looking to buy a grill, and I went to a couple of, you know, hardware stores, places looking for one, and there was one that I really liked, and I took a photo of it.
Okay.
You know, I just took a photo with my phone. Yeah. And later on that day, I saw Facebook running ads in my feed for that exact grill. Mm-hmm. Now, once again, I had not emailed this photo. I had not done anything with it other than taking a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook had gone into my photos, apparently, seeing that I was in the market for a grill because it still had a tag on it. It was in a store or whatever, and realized, hey, you know what? Let's do ads. Let's try to get Rich to buy one here. That freaked me out a little bit. We had some callers call in and say, okay, well, they have access to your photos and things like that. Okay, fine. But we went next level this past week. So I ordered a lamp for our house 2 weeks ago. Lamp arrives at our place. I unpack it. I start setting up the lamp. Didn't even have my phone on me. All right? Don't even have it anywhere near me.
Mm-hmm.
Plug it in. Mm-hmm. Put it in there. Mm-hmm. go walk over to the crapper, go to go sit down.
Mm.
There's an ad for that lamp right in my Facebook.
Mm.
In no way, shape, or form did I put any information regarding that lamp in my phone. The only possible way it could have known anything about, I didn't buy it with my credit card. My wife bought it. So nothing that's tied to this lamp has anything to do with my phone, my Facebook account, or anything. Yet I turn on my phone and there is a big ass ad in my feed for that exact lamp.
Well, your wife ordered it online?
No, we went to the store and ordered it to our place because they didn't have it in stock.
Okay. Now, I've heard about this. I've heard about this from other people where if you even have your phone out when you're shopping or something, and like technically I suppose there's a way where like the camera could be live to some extent or it can listen and all this stuff, and it's like they're always listening, they're always watching, and people are like, oh my God, how did it know? And like, how awful is this? I hear this and I'm like, wow, that's great. That makes my life so much easier.
No.
It knows what I'm looking for.
No.
And even if I don't ask it, it's going to help me find it. That's really cool.
Here is where it Fs you. Well, first of all, I don't like the fact that something could be listening to me. Like that stuff with the guy, like there was a picture that came out.
I'm not
doing anything wrong.
What's the name of the dude who founded Facebook?
Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg. There was a photo of Mark Zuckerberg that he tweeted out of him, like, you know, saying, hey, get some Oxfam, whatever. But behind him is his laptop on his desk and he's got a tape over the camera. And I'm like, okay, if Zuckerberg's freaking out that someone might be watching him, then I sure as hell should be freaking out. This guy knows everything about everything and spying and spyware and all that stuff. So, The grill thing, I understood, even though I didn't like it, that they had access to everything in my phone. But then I pulled up an article, because after that, I kind of freaked out. I'm like, is it listening to me? Is it listening to me when I speak? And I found these articles about a guy who was speaking to his father about proposing to his girlfriend. And
started getting ads
for engagement rings. Hadn't Googled, hadn't done anything. There's another story about, I went online and I found a ton of these stories. There's another one where there was a woman who was looking to divorce her husband and the husband didn't know. So she did do a little bit of internet research, but on his Facebook feed, it's not a linked feed, but because they obviously check each other's pages or there's obvious relationship there, there were ads for divorce lawyers that were showing up on his feed.
And
he instantly got tipped off.
So let me talk you off the ledge here about the lamp thing, okay? Now, you say that nobody did anything online. You bought it in a store.
Yep. I haven't tied my credit card into my phone. I don't use Apple Pay or anything. It wasn't even my card that was used.
Don't you think, and I think in almost all these cases, you maybe Google something or look at something or just glance at an ad a little bit longer, or your wife does, and since you guys are tied in so closely on Facebook, the algorithms read that you've got some interest, there's a chance you've got an interest in it as well. I think when these things happen, people automatically want to think it's listening and watching when my phone isn't even on, the more likely scenario is that you or someone that you're close to online looked it up, and now you're being included in the
end. I think you're right about this.
This was a spur of the moment. It wasn't even the fact that it saw that I was in the store, because this was 2 weeks after. Like, it's one thing that
you say
if it's following me.
What's it?
Well, it's they.
What's it? What's they?
It's they.
Who is they?
Big Brother.
What's it?
It's the ones watching us.
I see.
It's the giant face on the screen in the Apple commercial.
Okay.
That yells at us.
All right.
It tells us what to do.
Rich, I'm dead serious. I'm not doing a bit here. If that's the case, I welcome it. That's great. This is making my life easier. Good. Send me ads for things that I might be mildly interested in, especially if it's a good deal. Listen, watch.
I don't want you in my life.
I'm not doing anything wrong. You can watch and listen all day.
All right.
I'm not ashamed of one thing
that
I do.
Have you seen my life? It's pretty friggin' boring.
Exactly.
I really have no life to speak on.
I would be flattered if somebody thought I paid attention to you to monitor me
worthy of being watched.
Yes, I agree.
Can I just propose something to you? Okay. Think of some of the...
You just said propose. You're going to get engagement ring ads.
Think of some of the things that you've searched on the internet Yeah. Maybe in your weakest times.
Yeah.
Let's say that there's people.
Except for you. You don't do that kind of thing.
Of course not.
No.
You know,
we've gone through
this. I have not gotten nose yet.
Nose ads have not popped up on my Facebook page.
Discount offers for German mutilation porn? Good. That stuff is expensive. I'm tired of paying full price.
All right. Honestly,
we have full phone lines. 617-779-0985. How the hell is this happening? It's weirding me out. Has it ruined something for you? There was a story I read about how someone was Googling a Christmas present that he was going to get his wife and ended up buying it, and then the wife ends up getting an ad up on her thing. I mean, but that to me to a lesser extent.
If you Google something, if you search for something, those ads are going to pop up.
They're listening to us, and they're monitoring our every move, and sooner or later, they're going to be able to disintegrate us with a laser beam straight from our phone.
I think they can pick you off at will as it is. I don't think that's a problem.
I'm not speaking hyperbole. I'm not playing this up. It freaks the living hell out of me, and I don't like it one bit. All right, CBS Sports with Boomer Esiason.
I appreciate it.
They're brought to you by Acura Peabody. Boomer asks, are they watching you? And should you be afraid? Yes, Boomer, be very afraid. 985 of Sports Hub, it's Touch and Rich. I don't like this at all. I don't like this one bit. Not the fact that Hardy's in studio. We truly appreciate that. And I heard Dan Roach is going to be in for Zolak later on today.
I saw that too. Yes.
Okay, well, thank you for letting us know that. No, I don't like this. So before we broke, I was talking about how Facebook has gotten like out of control as far as like how it's monitoring us and how it's watching us and how it's like invading our privacy, in my opinion. And I used the example about how last year I took a picture of a grill, didn't send it an email, anything. I found the ad for that exact same grill in my Facebook feed. Then I even understood it, even though I didn't like it, that it had access to my photos. It found it and did an ad for it. But then there was a lamp that I had bought 2 weeks ago, or my wife had bought, and we got it in the mail yesterday, and I'd set it up, and I went to go use the bathroom, and I checked my Facebook, and there is an ad for that lamp. Now, I have not Googled that lamp. I did nothing online having to do with that lamp. All I did was talk about it, and it was physically sitting next to me as I was setting it up, yet somehow my phone knew about it. And in the meantime, I've got Dan O'Brien in the other room, our producer, who's making my head hurt because there's this video. Remember about 2 weeks ago, there was that video of the Boston Robotics over at MIT. There's that dog that they created that could open up the doors and get the hell out of a room. It looked like one of the raptors from Jurassic Park. Well, there's a new update to that. And there's a guy who's trying to stop the dog from escaping the room with a hockey stick. And that doesn't work. So what happens is he starts hitting the dog, and Dan, what happens?
The dog is undeterred, is what they wrote in the article, by someone trying to stop it from leaving the room. Completely autonomous. They do not give it any instructions. But they try and bar the door with his hand, and the dog, whatever it's called, the mini spot,
It's called evil. It's called the end of all of us.
Yeah. As Mike said here in the room, this is how it all ends.
Yeah, it is. And like it takes one of its arms or one of its legs. And like pries it open while the guy is trying to pull him away.
And as soon as the guy steps back, he swings the door open with his foot. Yep. And
that's when he shoots the laser beams from his head and disintegrates us all.
Assuming Lockhart is right, I'm okay with that. I don't think robots have the capacity for evil's sake. They'll just kill us. It'll be quick.
Being killed by laser dogs is the way you want to go.
Yes, as opposed to like some sadistic sociopath is going to torture you. No, I'll take the laser dog.
All right.
I'll take the dog.
You know, there's
the
other ways you can go other than just those two ways. You know, some sadistic guy.
I would prefer neither.
All right, let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So I do construction, and I was at this construction site, legit two states away. And there's guys from all sorts of trades there. And my first day there, I met this new guy there, was shooting the S with him and whatnot. And I don't know, I didn't take his phone number down or anything. I had just met him the first day, and like I said, I'm states away, and I'm leaving the job site on my hour ride back home. I pop on my Facebook, and I see his face. Now, mind you, no mutual friend. I never took his phone number down or anything. He literally lives seven states away, and he's the first person that pops up on my suggested friend list.
I think there's rational explanations for all these things.
For that one?
Including Rich's lamp, too. Telling you, one of you looked at a lamp online.
Not that specific one, and we didn't even Google it. It was 2 weeks earlier that we bought it. We'd forgotten about it. And then it arrived in the mail. We picked it up, and that was that.
Your information on file with the store?
Yes.
Yeah, so they share information.
Okay, to my Facebook page?
Yes.
What else do they know? Dan, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Maybe, probably something you've already thought of. I got the craziest story that I want to tell you. But do you have like one of those Alexas or one of those in your house?
Yes.
No, and you're a maniac if you have one.
I have one.
Because that thing listens to you all the time. All it does is sit there and gather information. It just when you're not talking about anything, the entire time it listens, gathers, and you let it do it. You opened up your world and all of your privacy to this black dot. You don't know where that information is going.
Also,
you don't know
your who's kid getting can it. Ask for Happy
all,
by
yeah,
Pharrell.
All you can say, hey, play that. That's right. Play Imagine Dragons! Yeah! Meanwhile, right. Your liberties are being sucked right through that black dot.
That's right.
And sold to the highest bidder.
I have one in four different rooms, too. I have dots all over the place. In the house.
You are insane. Anyone who buys one of these things, like, you're a mate. You are giving up all of your privacy when you do that. Hey, listen, faceless corporation, listen to every conversation that I have and use it and market it and sell it to the highest bidder.
Yeah. Absolutely. If I get a good deal, if I end up spending 10% less on paper towels, fine. Good.
All right.
That's why I got them.
I have a good one.
Let's let Dan finish. Okay, yeah. Okay, Dan. So you have Alexa listening. So everything that happens is your fault.
No.
Okay.
We had one given to us, and it was out the door for Christmas, and it was out our door 5 minutes after the person who gave it to us. But the crazy story was that my wife was a lifeguard at the Dennistown pool when she was 15 years old. Pre-smartphone, pre-everything. 2 years ago, she's on Facebook, and there's a Facebook side ad of a picture of her from the Dennistown pool at 15 years old advertising laser hair removal. She's 34.
Yes. Did your wife, as
Did
a
you
young
sue?
Girl, have an issue that... would serve as a good before photo for laser hair removal? Was there something going on?
That's well, creepy as hell.
Could make the argument that she needs it less now than she did that.
Yeah, did you call the company and say, what is my 15-year-old, like my wife when she was 15, doing in one of your ads?
That's a fair question. I did not. We were more just kind of dumbfounded by it.
I guess you're not that afraid after all.
All right, well, that's weird as hell.
I have a digital marketing director who just tweeted me, favorite demonstrated tech he's been pitched. Advertising on mobile devices that are picked up or unlocked while live TV broadcasts air in the background. Commercials have an audio fingerprint. You ignore the TV ads, but on mobile, the same advertisers can target you in a moment.
We just got a tweet that says, well, at least someone listens to me at home. Hashtag Alexa. All right there.
According to Jim.
She'll let me go play it. This is the one thing about all these like online ads and stuff, because I'm not on Facebook hardly ever, and the ones that I end up seeing are mostly like through my Gmail, the promos that pop up. They're not like emails, but I just automatically delete all that stuff. I don't look at the ads on pages that I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at the emails. Everything is just noise to me, and I just block it out. So to me, maybe it is happening to me, but I don't notice it because I don't look at it. And it speaks more to what I think really like I guess the foolishness of spending your advertising dollar online. Radio is really the best way to get live, local, and direct.
I like where you went with that.
Especially with like personal endorsements.
That always works.
I also get insulted that Facebook thinks they know my tastes. Like, they think I've got awful taste in things. Like, the other day, there was an ad for Young Sheldon on TV. Like, what of anything that I've ever posted or done would make you think that I would watch that stupid show? The Big Bang Theory. You like that show, don't you? I can tell by the look on your face.
No.
Just your show.
No. No.
John Wallach is a big fan of Young Sheldon.
No. Right, God, no.
Mike, you're on Toucher and Rich.
No.
What's up, Mike? Mike.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you're on. Yes.
All right, so I can usually chalk it up to, you know, surf history and stuff like that. But me and my buddy were talking random stuff the other day, and Justine Bateman came up. Now I've had, like, the last 2 weeks, three different stories about Justine Bateman on my Facebook.
Well, why did she come up? What were you talking about?
I was talking about a movie with her brother in it, and he said he had a big crush on her when he was a kid. And that's how it came up.
And there was no Google searches. What does Justine Bateman look like now? This was just pure you talking?
Oh, this was just pure talking, like we are right now.
They got you.
Do you have Alexa in the house?
Yes.
There it is. You have Alexa.
It's on you. I feel no sympathy for somebody who feels like they're getting creeped on by the government, by companies. If you've got Alexa in your house, it's on you.
May you
be the first to let the robots fry your skull.
Not only do I not have sympathy, I'm jealous. I wish I were paying more attention to this stuff so I could get more information about the things I'm interested in. I think this is a wonderful service.
You are selling your privacy to the highest bidder.
It's not that valuable. I'm not doing anything in
obviously
private.
Not.
That's worth anything.
Yeah, obviously not. I just, that whole thing. And really, it's like, honestly, how many times do you even use Alexa? Like, after like the first 2 days, are you done with it?
My kids use it.
Well, that sucks because your kids can buy stuff with it, can't they?
No. We have that.
Sure they can.
We have it closed off that way.
That's even worse. Your kids are being like dissected and marketed and the things that they like.
We're late. I will tell you about how things can be purchased and how easily they can be purchased. I got a good one for you. You want it right now?
Well, for everyone, by the way, who's Alexa right now, Alexa, burn yourself. Alexa, shut off permanently. So there you go. I did all of you guys a favor. I did you a favor. You don't have to worry about your privacy getting stolen to the highest bidder anymore. Save your story. We'll come right back because I do want to talk about it. We have some other stuff to get to. We have Joe Haggerty to talk about your Boston Bruins as well, right after John Wallach's headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
We're getting some more interesting things about these targeted ads and Alexa nightmares. And Hardy's apparently got a story, which I'm looking forward to. But first, we have a gentleman who is between cities right now. He is jumping from one plane to the next. He is a very busy man this time of year because your Boston Bruins, we discussed this yesterday, if there's any team right now, whether it be the Patriots or the Celtics or maybe even the Red Sox, it seems to be trending upwards. It's definitely the Bruins. The way they've been playing as of late has been phenomenal. And Zdeno Chara, my God, what a great couple of weeks he has had. Bergeron in the conversation for the heart, and many people are saying Marchand should be there as well. So with us on the phone right now, it's the great Joe Haggerty. What's up, Joe? What's going on, man?
Basically, Rich, everything is awesome when it comes to the Bruins, right? That's what we're talking about right now. This is the best story of the Boston winter sports season, as far as I'm concerned.
Unless you're a season ticket holder, because apparently they just raised the ticket price 7%.
Now's the time to do it.
Yeah, I know. You got no other shot.
That's the thing. It's like you always hear backlash when that happens. Yesterday, there wasn't a ton. I mean, there was you know, a couple people. But, I mean, you know, the Red Sox raised the ticket prices by 1% or 2%. And it's like, you know, pitchforks and torches. So, in this case, you're right. Everything's going well. What are you hearing as far as any kind of potential movement other than the small move they just made with the upcoming trade deadline?
Well, I think they're definitely still going to get a winger of some kind, a bigger, stronger, more experienced guy on the wing. I think talks could keep going and are still going with the New York Rangers again. They could hit up the Rangers and Jeff Gorton again for another trade, whether it's for Rick Nash, whether it's for Michael Grabner. Those are both guys that could help them. Yeah, you know, one of the things with them on the wing is, you know, they've got an extremely good team, deep forward lines. They've got a lot of things fast skilled. They've got a lot of things going for them, but they're a little undersized and they're a little young on their wings outside of David Backes. So with an expected playoff grind, with the physicality getting ramped up, you want players that have faced that before, have had success against that, and are going to be able to put the puck in the net and battle through that a little bit, especially if your younger guys struggle at all. So Nash and Grabner with the Rangers are right there, and there's certainly players the Bruins are interested in. Patrick Maroon, who has been scouted extensively by the Bruins, and the Oilers have gotten a pretty good look at the Bruins, too, in scouting. So that's a conversation that's ongoing as well. And Thomas Vanek, the certified Bruins killer for his entire career, is out with the Vancouver Canucks now. He's got 33 goals. I think it's 38 games against the Bruins in his career, and he's well-traveled, been on a lot of different teams. He's another guy, I think, that will be heavily in consideration among these other players. But, you know, and I'm sure there'll be a couple of names that'll surprise as well. But that's the biggest piece I think they still have to go out and get. Do I think they're going to make a push for Ryan McDonagh? I think they'd be stupid not to, and I think they're certainly interested, and they'll try. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to make something like that work, especially after trading for Nick Holden. You know, I don't know that they're going to go for broke for another defenseman right now after making that move, but they're still going to go out and get a rental winger at the very least, and somebody that could help them score a little bit more and meet that physicality they're going to get in the playoffs.
Well, what are you hearing about Ryan Donato, Olympic hero? I know that he's naturally a center, right?
But he has a left-handed shot.
But he's got this left-handed shot. So, yeah. I mean, is there any chance that he that they would put him on the roster and think that that is a substantial enough a move?
Well, he's a center at the college level, but he projects to be a winger in the pros, and I think he is going to be on the wing when he gets to the next level, and that's obviously, I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. Even if he goes back to Harvard, Harvard season's going to not be going on for much longer, so I fully expect he's going to turn pro fairly shortly. The problem is, Rich, and I just mapped it out for you, what they really need is a veteran guy and a bigger guy and a guy with size and strength and a guy that's been through the playoff grind before. They have plenty of young players. They have plenty of exciting, fast players, guys that can put up points. They have a lot of, what Ryan Donato brings, even though he was fantastic in the Olympics. They really need something a little different. They need somebody that's been through it before. They need somebody much bigger, much stronger, with a little bit of mean and nasty to go along with the ability to put the puck in the net. Those are the kind of players that have had pretty good success skating with David Krejci in the past, and that's what they're looking for. Now, what Ryan Donato does do if he signs with the Bruins, and I don't think he's going to have an impact at the NHL level. I think similar to college guys like Danton Heinen and Anders Bjork, he's going to need to go to the AHL and the minor leagues to develop a little bit before he's really ready to make an impact. But what he does do is he frees you up to trade one of your wings now to make a deal. Yeah. And I think that's an important thing.
What about him being used as some sort of leverage? I mean, his stock's not going to be any higher than it is right now.
No, it will be if he gets to the NHL, he starts playing well, then his stock would go up. The problem with players like Donato in college is, and he certainly has value, and there's no question about it, if they want to trade him as a prospect, they could. But the guys that have already done it at the NHL or NHL-ready right now, those are the guys that have more value. What it could do is Ryan Donato coming in basically gives you a lot of what Anders Bjork gives you. And Anders Bjork has already come to the NHL level, done a little bit, shown what he can do, and has value with NHL teams. Ryan Donato coming into your organization, it gives you such a surplus of wings, quick, skilled wings, you can trade Anders Bjork somewhere. And I think that is the guy, if the Bruins are going to trade one of their forward prospects, which they have a plethora of, to make a move that's going to make an impact, I think Anders Bjork is that guy. They're not going to trade Danton Heinen. He's in the top 10 in rookie scoring. He's been fantastic this year. He's a great two-way player. He's doing everything they want him to do. There's been a major impact guy in the third line. They're not going to trade Jake DeBrusk, who's been that on the second line and who's been an exciting player that I think could be a great Bruin for 10 years. But Anders Bjork, who is in the same category as those two, I think is the guy you could give up because Ryan Donato's coming into your organization. That'll allow you to get something significant. They may end up getting Rick Nash out of this, which would be a big upgrade on the wing with David Krejci. It would be a great player for him in a lot of respects. And you might have to give up a guy like Bjork to get him.
Don Sweeney ended his press conference discussing Nick Holden by, I think the last few words he said was, it's expensive out there. And as we get close to the trade deadline, how far do the Bruins extend themselves to get that impact player? Is there a possibility they would overpay simply because of where they are in the standings?
I don't think they're going to overpay to the point of trading too many of their young players at the NHL roster, and that's what it comes down to. If they want to get a Ryan McDonough, my sense is they may have to give up Carlo and, say, a Jake DeBrusk, if that's what they're asking for, and a draft pick. And, that at that point, that's too expensive for my blood. That's too much. That's too many players from your NHL roster that are already contributing. You'd be altering your team that's been so good this year too much if you're trading away those kind of players. Now, I would be okay with trading Brandon Carlo if it got you back Ryan McDonough because you're upgrading your defense. I might be okay with trading, one of your NHL-level wingers to get Ryan McDonough along with a younger guy that hasn't done anything yet in a draft pick because Ryan McDonough is that much of a difference maker. But I'm certainly not going to give up two pieces from the NHL roster that's within a point of the President's Trophy and has been so great all season. I want to see what this team can do in the playoffs with some upgrades around them. I don't think this is a go-for-broke situation with the Boston Bruins. This isn't the 2011 Boston Bruins team right now. This is the 2008-09 Boston Bruins that were better than people expected, went a couple rounds in the playoffs, had a lot of young guys in the roster that had kind of learned the playoffs and figured things out, and then a couple of years later, they were ready to win the Cup. They're on that upward arc right now, but they now is not the time to go for broke. They need to keep building because I think they're going to be this good for the next few years.
All right, finally, the situation with Chara. I mean, he's been unbelievable. As I said, it's like a fountain of youth situation with him, the way he's been playing. What are you hearing as far as the Bruins' plans for him?
They want him back. He wants to come back. I think it's going to happen. It may not happen until after the year, though. Maybe the Bruins want to look at him for the entire run of the season and the playoffs, see what he does, and then decide, is this a one-year contract situation or is this a situation where they can give a couple of more years? Regardless, he's going to be back next season. And I think with young defensemen around him, with a great supporting cast around him, with him, his new plant-based diet, Rich, that he's into. He's now gone vegan, the big guy.
It's TB12. And, he's doing the TB12 thing.
Exactly. And with what a conditioning freak he is, he can be like a Brady, and I think continue to play at the level he's at for the next couple of years. And, you know, that'll make them, along with everything else that they have, a contender. But who better than him to have with all these young defensemen coming up and through the system right now to mentor them on the ice? They're going to take care of him, and he wants to stay.
Well, good seeing you at Pucks and Paddles. Did you see your boy right here crushing it, getting to the Final Four with the first line?
I did. I was impressive. I don't know if you saw the video I put out on Instagram, Rich, but I have an Instagram video of Freddie getting spiked in his one-out elimination match. So go check that out.
Listen, I can't crush anyone. I mean, legitimately, the reason I got there is because the dude to my left was a ringer.
You had a killer on your team, man.
It was like
I was up quick, and then I look, and I'm like, Rich has this guy serving everybody.
Yeah, he was an absolute monster. But I wouldn't have gotten that final table. But the final table, if you saw it, it was Pasternak versus Krejci. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And both of them were standing like 10 feet away from the table. It was that kind of match where it's like, we're just going to hit it so hard and so fast that we're not even going to stand anywhere near it because it was just spike after spike after spike. I would have been absolute toast. But I appreciate you coming by, and it has been fun being able to talk about the Bruins again. You know, it's like people are paying attention now, which is nice because they're a good team. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Go get in your plane, okay, Joe?
Thanks, Richie. I'm happy that I'm relevant again with the Bruins. Yes. Take it easy, buddy.
That's right. You're getting multiple breaks on TV at night, which is nice. Not just the one, just to kind of check the box off. All right, we talked Bruins. Let's put the bags on. All right, appreciate it. Okay, when we come back, finally I get to hear your story, Hardy, about the nightmarish situation of your computers listening to you that we've been discussing. And
it's not that bad.
Well, then I don't want to hear it.
No, it's how easy it is for people to buy things who can't do much else.
Oh, good. That's another thing.
Leave it at that.
Good. It steals your privacy and it puts you in debt. That's nice.
Yeah.
We truly appreciate that. It is a device of the devil. And anyone who owns one deserves what they get. All right. 617-779-0985.
You're listening to Kutcher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Kutcher and Rich. Hardy is in for Fred this morning. Let's wrap this up because we've been talking about how after having conversations with people about things, we are getting targeted ads on Facebook for the things that we were discussing, and it's creepy. I mean, I can't think of any other explanation as that we're being listened to. I know that people were talking about Alexa and and the ways that Alexa will market towards you. And this is a great one that someone just sent us. He goes, the other night I went out to a bar and I stayed there for a while and I drank a lot. And the next morning I wake up and this ad was on my Facebook timeline and it's for something called Morning Recovery Hangover Cure. So it saw that he had spent like more than an hour or so in a bar. And maybe it was tracking his credit card purchases.
Or just knows that it's a 20-something-year-old and it's Saturday morning.
Mm.
Like the explanations I think are far easier. Now, here's the one thing that does scare me about it. My son, who is 7 and does not really get like computers and all that stuff. We're not like real device heavy in the house, right? But he wanted a microphone. He sees stuff that I work with. He wants his own microphone. I'm like, well, you can't really, can I get a microphone? Yeah, we'll get you your own microphone. I'm like, in addition to the 1,000 other things we're going to do, well, he starts talking to Alexa. Alexa, can I buy a microphone? Of course. What kind of microphone do you want? He managed to not only order, but he was so proud of himself. He tells his big sister, he goes, hey, I just ordered a microphone. She goes, no, you didn't. He goes, oh, yeah, watch this. Hey, it's real easy. Watch. Hey, Alexa, I wonder where he not only ordered one, but three.
Okay.
Yeah. And they all showed up at the house. I'm like, and he had zero guilt about it. I got to say, I was kind of proud of him. I would not know how to just talk to Alexa and get something. He got exactly what he wanted.
If you're a seven-year-old, it's like your genie in a bottle. Your wishes come true.
Yes.
You just got to sit and wait a couple of days for the guy with the packages to show up with your gigantic $400 Lego Death Star.
Yeah. And we had a long talk about this. You can't happen again. And but we had to have a conversation, which our parents never had to have with us, is this stuff costs money. Yeah. The actual money that you know, mm-hmm. we used to carry around in our pockets that we have to go to work for.
Sure.
It's things just don't show up for free. But now we have to pay for that. And, oh, by the way, we're not keeping this. And let them keep one. It was like a $7 microphone that, you know, I could plug into something. Okay, fine, you're going to have this, but you're going to have to take it out of your piggy bank, and you're going to mm-hmm. have to pay for it. And the other two are going back, and oh, by the way, you could never do this again.
All right, Chris.
But he felt fine about it, and I got to say, I was kind of impressed. Impressive.
Did he ask for something?
That he was able to order it and have it show up at the house.
That opens up a whole new trap door of problems, though.
Chris, you're on Touch and Rich.
Yes, Rich. You know on Facebook, when you get that little thread that says, what was the first movie you saw in the theater? What's the first car you ever owned? What song was number one the day you were born? And everyone replies. Those are the challenge questions to change your password for your online banking. They're being harvested by kids in cars. And they know everything about you. They're your Facebook account, your email. They have your banking password, and you're done.
What street did you grow up on? What's your mother's maiden name?
Those are your challenge questions for your PIN.
Oh, I mean, that. You know what? And I know people dumb enough to actually fill one of those out. Like, I mean, have you ever, like, questioned your friendship with somebody who posts a What Disney Character Are You questionnaire on their Facebook?
Yes, I have.
You're like, how am I friends with these people? Why are they taking time to take this quiz? And I like this guy's theory. It's all just to get your PIN number eventually and to hack into your personal information and rob you blind. Yeah. What's your first pet's name? What is the name of the school you went to in high school? What town did you get married in? I mean, it's all the questions the security ones they get you, and then you end up finding, what dragon from Game of Thrones you most identify with.
Yeah, let's find your robot name. It's your mother's maiden name and the last four digits of your social.
Right. And your PIN.
Everybody, play along and make up your, and figure out your robot name.
Right. Your name is Harrison 144. 4-2 Thanks for your PIN number. Bye-bye.